Okay, here we are. Get back up to here for some, see if I can see comments. Okay, we are May 12th, Sunday night. We are doing part two. Well, we're actually a part, let's see here, part, I think it's part six this morning and seven tonight. But it's different now. We're doing tonight, we're going to go through mysteries in life. We spent the last four sermon times, whatever you want to call them, going through the mysteries in the Bible, how Paul explains them all. Nothing should be a mystery. Describe them and get a fantastic understanding from them. And from here on out, we're going to spend a lot of the summer here anyway, just looking at mysteries of life. You know, people that ask things like, why would God allow this? Where is God when you need him? All the questions you and I have both heard. Why teenagers have no clue about what's going on and the destruction of marriages, what's going on there. I mean, all sorts of things. Religion. What have you got against religion, Paulson? It's good people doing good stuff. Yeah, I know it is, but I despise it. Well, why do you despise it? Well, we'll talk about that. So, I've expanded my title, as I mentioned this morning, to those of you that can make it this morning. We expanded the title to, Mysteries of Life, Exploring, thanks to you guys' help, Exploring, Explaining, Examining, Expounding, Exhorting, with Exceeding Simplicity and Plainness of Speech, by Exalting the Excellent and Faithful Word of Truth. And we're going to go to that, and we're going to just explain every little thing that goes on in this life, in this world, that people have no clue about, because if they say they're a Christian, they're worshiping their unknown God. They have no idea what God has told them, told us. He hasn't told them anything because they don't read their Bible, King James, rightly divided. But anything out there, I believe, can be explained or explored or examined and expounded upon, exhorted with exceeding simplicity, with plainness of speech. No, it's nothing complicated. And all you have to do is exalt the excellent and faithful word of truth. That's it. So, we talked this morning, we thought, well, let's go over some of these words we just explained here. For example, exhorting. We talked about exhorting, exhortation. And that's not just telling people about something. That's really trying hard to get them to respond. You exhort. You just want them to catch on, not only to begin to understand it and learn it, but to live it. So, we went over those verses. And tonight, we'll just kind of finish up the explanation of the title by going to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So let's get into this thing. I hope I got everything working here. My microphone is turned. We got it. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, I can hear those pages rustling now. Well, not really. Oh, and good news. I'm my finches are back. I've got two finches out there chewing on this bird seed now. And some of you may say, well, if you're having such a hard time, why do you spend money on bird seed? Because those little birds are kind of cute out there. You know, you're feeding these little birdies. And birding, B-I-R-D-I-N-G, is a pretty big deal out in these parts. We are supposed to be able to, we can even go crane hunting. And I said, you know, I don't think I could shoot a crane. Well, they're just such a unique bird, you know. But they have crane season out here. But we're supposed to have the pretty little bluebirds, not the big mean ones, but the pretty bluebirds and the cardinals and the, we've got a bunch of wrens and we got a bunch of, now my finches are back. And I'm getting older, so us old people look to birds, get rid of my dog, so he's not a problem in the mud anymore. So those are going to become my new friends this summer, so just me and the birds. So anyway, we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 12, because something else that I said in that title was with plainness of speech. 2 Corinthians 3, 12. Seeing then, Paul says, that, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. So because of all this hope and this understanding, all these things that lead towards hope, we don't need to have some great big expounding of the depth of the Greek and the Hebrew and the Baptistic manuals and the way Dr. Somebody explains it or draws it, or some other doctor the way he explains it. Or, you know, like for example, here we go. I was written to anyway, some of my former New York friends wrote to me, one of them wrote to me and says, what do you think about... I'm doing that coughing more and more lately. That's an old person thing too, I think. Anyway, what do you think of, do you teach anything about the gap theory? The gap, are you kidding? That is pages and pages and pages for it, and that's pages and pages and pages against it. So I wrote him back and said, are you kidding? I haven't got that much time to waste. And the same thing on geocentricity and heliocentricity. Remember, we talked about that long, pages and pages and pages. And then both sides say, well, if you don't believe this, you don't believe your Bible. One of those kind of Baptistic workman-y type titles, topics there, you know. No, we don't need to get into that stuff. It's just simple, plainness of speech. So, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. So, look at Romans 12:8. Let's go to Romans 12:8. You know, when you read these, the verses I pick out here, we've been over these, I don't know how many times. And if you read verses before them, especially verses after them, see even more of a deeper explanation. But we're not gonna do that. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 8. We've been over this stuff before. It just helps you sit down in your little chair out there in the back lawn where I'm going to mow out some of the higher weeds and sit amongst the trees and have a little pellet gun sitting there in my Bible and just sit there in my little lawn chair and just read and shoot and drink my little chemicalized pink lemonade and try to make some money somewhere. So anyway, here we go. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Talking about, go back to verse 4, members of one body, da-da-da-da. People have the gift of this, and it's not the tongue, stuff like that. I'm in Romans 12, 8. He that exhorteth, there's that exhortation thing again, you know. He that giveth, we're talking about giving here. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. See, so there's nothing complicated about what we do here. If people want to give, if people want to hear the preaching and the teaching, this is not a complicated site. This is just plain and simple. And everything you want to do, there it is, for whatever. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. For our rejoicing is this. For our rejoicing is this. The testimony of our conscience, Paul and his buddies there, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, which is what religion is full of, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation, it's not their talking conversation, it's just their life, their manner of life, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing. So again, this whole thing that we're going to explain about these mysteries of life, we're going to do it in simplicity and godly sincerity. I mean, yes, this is serious stuff. And yes, the answers, the explaining, the exhorting, the exploring, the examining, it's all simple. But it's all sincerity. It's all serious. It's real. And yet, like I said this morning, we're going to become the enemy of the family and husbands, wives, and kids, relatives, workers we work with, other Christians especially are going to hate to hear this stuff, just like Nehemiah and Jeremiah and Paul. Paul was told by Festus, you're crazy, Paul. You're mad. Yeah, well, whatever. And then Paul says, I'm going to become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth here? You know? People do want to worship God their own way. They want to have the only kind of God their own way, and that's what Paul talks about in Acts 19. We're just going to go through this stuff simply, plainness of speech. Look at 2 Corinthians just chapter 11. Let's move over a little bit here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. This is Paul's heart. This is his burden. Just read 1, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. They call it folly, you know. And indeed bear with me. Yeah, I mean, we've had the computer man pop in and pop out. We have cinnamon pop in and pop out. Now, Duffy, we hope you stick around. Duffy Moon 777, I hope you stick around. Because this is Paul's concern. That in verse 3, I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted for the simplicity that is in Christ. And fleshly wisdom, as Paul said earlier, this is what's going on out there in our churches, our Bible studies, our men's Bible studies, and these pastors and preachers, who everybody loves and want to support and help them out to a point, they just complicate stuff so much. We'll talk about that here in a minute. So, plainness of speech, simple, simplicity of it all, exhorting, we're going to try to get people to understand, not only understand these mysteries in life are explainable, they're explainable from God, from His mouth, and hope to see some action in their lives for their sake. It's all for their sake. Now let's go to Acts 18:26 and Acts 18. And we see the word expound. Acts 18:26. So we're going to take what these scriptures say about these particular mysteries. We ever get into them. I'll get into them. I'm just gotta wrap up this school stuff. This is my last week, and actually the first day is my last real day. Now the kids are gonna be gone. They go to parties and play. I don't know why we even have school, but we have to because of the state, I guess. You know, whatever. So Acts 18. Where am I going? I'm going to 26. See, and this is what we'd like to do for folks. And this Apollos guy. He was an eloquent man, in verse 24, mighty in the Scriptures, knowing, of course, that he was not mighty in Paul's Scriptures because they didn't have Paul's Scriptures yet, as such, in written form. And this guy spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, that's good, knowing only the baptism of John. See, that's the Gospels stuff. And he began to speak boldly, verse 26, in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them. You know, come on, Apollos, just go out for some pizza. We've got to talk to you a little bit here. And expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So, let's just take these mysteries and let's expound to these people, to these young people, to these teenagers, to these confused Christians who know in their heart, something's not right here. And let's expound unto them the way of God more perfectly. Now, we know that the disciples said to Jesus, listen, Jesus, we know that you teach the way of God. Matthew 22 and three other places. They mentioned Jesus taught the way of God. But what Jesus has to teach to Paul is the way of God more perfectly. That's what Paul's message is. It's the way of God, but now there's more to it. We're getting closer and closer to knowing it all and to be able to deal with it more perfectly. Doesn't mean more sinning, whatever. Doesn't mean you're going to stop sinning and be the good Christian and get God's blessings. That's religion teaches that. The way of God more perfectly is what God actually did and about the law. And he does with his righteousness what he does to us with our soul, cuts away from the flesh, and all these things, what he does, that's the way of God more perfectly. And now we know how to please God. That's the way of God more perfect. And we expound on that when our answer's coming up here. And then we go to 2 Corinthians 13:5 for one more quick little thing here. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Mark, are you still awake? He was one tired cookie when he got home from his races today. He is. Wow. Okay, 2 Corinthians 13:5, and here's that word examine. You know, examine yourselves. Whether you be in... Does it say, examine yourselves whether you have strong faith? No, it says, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So there's a lot, this world is just full of reprobates, so there's a bunch of reprobation going on out there. And these people who say they're Christians, they have to examine themselves. And if you examine yourself, look into Paul, look into 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for example, you'll ask yourself whether you've got the right Jesus, the real Jesus. If you got the risen Jesus, or have you been following the Jewish Jesus on the earth, so you haven't got the real Jesus. You've got an Antichrist Jesus. Then you get to examine all this stuff. And I said before to people that I can sit down with a husband and wife, and I can challenge them, and I can challenge their salvation. I can help them examine themselves, but the woman cries and the man gets mad. Because I just put the scriptures on them. And anyway, so there's that stuff. There's our introduction to this whole thing here. We're going to explore, explain, examine, expound upon, exhort with exceeding simplicity and plainness of speech by exalting the excellent and faithful word of truth. Now, let's look at this. Here we go. This is kind of like part two of part one here, or whatever. Let's ask this question. Why is there so much mystery in life out there? I don't know, why is it people don't know? Just thought of another thought to throw in here. Here's why they don't know what's going on, and when you tell them, they're still not going to be interested, and as I just thought of this question, I got tons of answers. This could probably be a sermon by itself. So we'll just kind of make this as the end of the conclusion of the introduction. I'll get into one of these. Why is it? Why are people so not capable of getting this thing here? How did Sam? Oh, there we go. So let's look at this. Let's look at these things right here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. So here's how I would address this. I got to keep in mind I'm doing this for the younger people and the Christian confused bunch. You know, why is it we have these questions? Where's God during this thing? Why can't we see this? Why can't we understand? Is there really a God? Or is evolution real? Or what's going on? Here's another thought. How can somebody who's in their 60s and 70s or 50s and 60s and 40s and 40s and 50s and 60s be all supportive of gay marriages and all the perversions that are going on in this society? How come all of a sudden they're for it when they were younger and in school, they were against it? How does this happen? What's going on here? How come? See, we know in Isaiah, it says things that are good are going to be called evil, things that are evil are going to be called good. So how is this happening? Now, I'll guarantee you that it's being taught to the social world, it's being changed over in the school system. So that doesn't surprise me when kids say some of the things they say or dress the way they do or whatever they do amongst themselves in school. I understand why kids are that way. But it's us older folks. What made you change your mind? Well, 1 Corinthians 15, you're probably already there, I'm not, but 1 Corinthians 15, 53. That's not what I want. 1 Corinthians 15, come on now, 15. I want 53. See, I'm doing it again. Maybe it is 2 Corinthians. I don't think it is. Let's check it out. I'm just going to go right straight to the thing here. I'm curious where I messed up on this one. I really purposely wanted to not mess my scriptures up here. There we go. Select all. I'm coming. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. There we go. Just up a bunch there. Make a change there, 1 Corinthians 15, 33, where it says, be not deceived. Okay, so don't be deceived. Don't be tricked into this junk. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So, in other words, evil communications deceive people, and they corrupt people. Well, what's communications? Well, it's just passing from one person to another person some information. It's a lifestyle. It's living your life. Something's going on out there that's corrupting us by deceiving us. And my simplest illustration here is we are being duped and deceived and corrupted by our evil media communication. Lifestyles deceive people. But this evil communication, this media, I did try to tell somebody the other day at the local bank that did you know that if you look at most of the artistic food drawings in a family magazine, you'll see perversions and dirty pictures and stuff within the beans, within the macaroni and cheese. No, I never, I can't believe that. Yeah, well. So, we have been subliminally, had our minds changed. Now, if we don't want our mind to be deceived and changed, we need to throw out that media, those evil communicators out there, and stick to the book. So what I'm saying here is we have got people that have been evilly communicated to, and their minds have been changed, so now they hate the Bible. Well, at one time they liked it. And all these modern perversions, all these things that are going on, for example, Romans chapter 1, of all places, the real positive chapter there, these people, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. So they're not interested. And then it goes on, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. And it goes on, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. It goes on, God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women did not change the natural use into that which is against nature. And on it goes. Even as though they did not like to retain God in the knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's what's going on. So we're going to take this list of people here that Paul wrote about, and if you can imagine what it was then, look at what is going on today. And we're going to try to show these people through the scriptures how to explain these mysteries. And this is why people aren't going to get it. And teenagers or young people out there, you know, you've got to decide, did God promise to preserve His words? Are they still available today? And has God changed? Well, He hasn't changed an ounce, but He has changed. He has made it so Christ paid the penalty, which is Himself, manifest in the flesh. He still hates what He hates, but now He's dealt with it. So, these things are explainable. And what you're going to find out was you're going to have to get rid of some of these evil communications in your life. You know, list them. You got teachers, I'm not going to say public school teachers, there's some good teachers out there. Private school teachers are just as wicked in lots of places. And if it's a normal Christian school, they're teaching a deceptive religion, which is even harder to break. You've got the news media, you've got the movies that people are constantly watching today, TV and videos and the money they put into that stuff, you know, and they're getting changed. These mysteries, these things that happen in life are becoming mysteries to them because they don't understand. Well, here's another one. Let's go here to Job. Let's go to Job 17 of all places. Go to Job 17. There's quite a book. Job 17. Here's what I think as I see it happening all the time, more and more and more. And I see why kids are the way they are today. They just can't handle anything. Job 17. Now it's either 5 or 15. It's 5. He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail. Flattery. Terrible, dangerous, terribly dangerous thing. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 24. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. It's that flattery stuff pops up again. If we go to Daniel 11, we go to Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Let's see here. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he, meaning Antichrist as we look into this, he corrupt by flatteries. And if you look at verse 34, now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Flatteries is a big deal. Flatteries is a lie. That's what it is. And you're telling somebody that something is either good or you do a marvelous job in this or whatever, and they don't see the reality, the truth of what it is they're putting forth. And we've got these kids growing up thinking everything they do is just fine and hunky-dory, because we sure don't want to hurt their feelings and blow their little self-image thing. And so as a result of that stuff, we got people who don't have a clue. They were blinded by their own flatteries that people put on. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, because Paul's got to say something about it. Yeah, Paul does say something about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, "For neither at any time used we flattering words." So Paul's not into flattering. When you read your King James Bible rightly divided, you're not going to get flattered by being such a marvelous person that you are. But the religious world will flatter you. Moms and dads flatter their children because they don't want them to be sad or lonely. And pastors flatter the flock because who's going to come back if you're going to get jumped on or whatever. So the people that are out there, they don't understand what's going on because they've been flattered for so long. A lot of them don't even think anything's even wrong out there. They think we're the nutcases. Tribulation, oh come on, things are better now than they ever have been. The medical world's better. The economy's finally starting to come around. Obama's just fixing everything and all, and he's helping us do this, and we're just such a great nation now. And oh, please. Flatteries. You know how he got elected? He got elected by flatteries. I'll pay for your welfare. I'll pay for your home. I'll pay for this. And I'll pay. It's flattering these people that he's... And he got elected. And he got reelected. And I wouldn't be surprised if he somehow manipulates a third term. Just wouldn't surprise me the way things are going. Okay, so flattering, evil communication. Well, we know one of them is a big one. It's huge. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We know this one. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many arrows, sorrows. So people are living the way they're living is because of the love of money. And we all need money. None of us have enough. And a lot of the problems in my personal life are because the money thing. And same thing with y'all, I'm sure. So, this world out there, they do anything, they got it. They got to make the money. It's not bad enough that ladies are working out there, but they got to work two jobs, three jobs. Not only that, they got to do what their boss and their employer says, which means they got to wear this and they can't wear this, and they got to talk to the customers. You got to make those men want to come to that store, so you got to flirt with the men. It's just wicked. So, love, you need to do it because you need the money. Now let's go to Revelation 16. What else is going on in this world is keeping people from seeing what we're talking about here, about these mysteries of life. Why are they so mysterious? The Bible explains them. There's no mysteries going on out there. We know exactly what's going on. Well, Revelation 16 tells me, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So the devil has been deceiving people and they're going to come to the big deception during the tribulation. He's getting himself an army to fight against the real Savior. And how many people who call themselves Christians are going to find themselves on the wrong team? Wait a minute. I'm supposed to be on that other side fighting. What happened? Well, see, you didn't have you had the Jewish Jesus. You had the earthly one. Well, said to believe. No, which had to believe in the Gospels. See, we lost that guy. See, people just can't put up with this stuff. Whatever. So, you want to believe in Jesus. You believe that Jesus was the Son of God in the Gospels. You got that all mixed up there, friend. You need to put your faith and trust in the risen Christ. That's what Paul tells you about. And then lastly, why are things so difficult to talk to people? Why don't they see these things today? Well, as you probably know, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. And let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter, 2. Let no man deceive you by any means, that the day shall not come, which is the Lord coming back here, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So all this has to take place yet. So Paul says, listen, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, when he comes down to gather his people, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand, because see, it's not. There has to be a falling away first. Well, have we totally fallen? No, we haven't totally fallen, but we see the falling taking place. And so what do we have in verse 9 and 10? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Well, this is what's starting to happen more and more and more. So we know that the whole world is being set up for the coming of the Antichrist. Well, the King James Bible, rightly divided, talking about the goodness of God, isn't going to thrill anybody who's waiting for the Antichrist with all the stuff that has to be taught. The music is fleshly. The worship they do is false, according to Acts 19, and Paul's in Colossians and Ephesians. They got this evil communication just destroying people's minds and they don't even know it. We got flattery making people think things are fantastic. They're fantastic. You've got this love of money. Everything we do has got to be for money. We just love that. We just got to have that money. And, the devil's just getting together a bunch of guys for his side. And it's all falling apart, and it's supposed to fall apart, and it's going to fall apart. But we're still going to give the scriptures, we're still going to give the Bible a chance here. You know, the excellent and faithful word of truth. Let's give it a chance. Maybe somebody out there will still be looking around. Maybe some teenager or relative of mine or yours, these kids, will wonder, why are things the way, what is going on here? And maybe, not only would you just have them listen to this tape, but that probably won't work. You got to learn this stuff and be able to talk to people about it when the time comes up. I remember I used to give people books all the time. Here, read this. Then I realized, wait a minute, I'm actually giving them something to read instead of their Bible. Then I realized later that none of these books explained what was wrong, but they never explained what was right. All they did was tell you to put your trust in Jesus Christ and he'll save you and he'll fix your life up, and that's not true. So all these award-winning books, just, they're right. I mean, you have to be too stupid to realize what's going on this, what's wrong with this world. But just hoping that we can find somebody that they know something's not right, and they don't know what it is, but they're looking. So here's hoping I can get prepared enough doing this so I can pass it on to him, and you can pass on to somebody else. But they can listen to this tape, but they probably won't get it. You know, you got to be able to explain it to them. So, there you go. Let me turn off my video here like I always do.